In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a time when I was newly ordained that it was clear, obviously in the late 90s, that the Church had abandoned the practice of preaching against sin. We had become uncomfortable saying unpleasant things from the pulpit, lest we, particularly as priests, risk the tenuous popularity we may have gained in our various parishes. What has happened in the intervening 27 years has not only been an unwillingness to preach against sin, but now an acceptance of those things that used to be called sin now being made right, those things that are right being made wrong. St. Paul makes very clear what is set before us in the manner in which we should live our lives. We are not slaves to the flesh, slaves to our passions. We are men and women built for a life of virtue. And the list of sins that are articulated in Galatians certainly are not meant to be exhaustive, but clearly point out that these are sins not only of the flesh, if you will, in a material sense, but also sins of the flesh that rests in our hearts: anger and jealousy and quarrelness and factions and envies and murder. There are things that we must root out both in what we do and what rests in our hearts in order to truly live in the Spirit that has been bestowed upon us. And for St. Paul, it is very clear that one cannot move forward with the Spirit until one has cooperated well with the grace of God and overcoming all of those interior and exterior, if necessary, dispositions that do not lead us to God, but instead take us away from Him. Because of this unwillingness to preach against sin and to preach about virtue, there has been introduced into the life of the Church a confusion about who we are and what it is that we are to believe and how we are to comport ourselves. But let's be very clear about this. Popes and bishops and cardinals only exercise the authority that they exercise when they are in union with Holy Mother Church and preach those things according to the tradition of the Church. Now, since I am recording myself, let me say very clearly into the recording device, I am not fomenting dissension or disobedience against those who govern us. But we know that this relationship into which we have entered, to be called to a life of holiness, to know right from wrong, and to have this right and wrong preached to us in order that we might live accordingly, what is required from us is to be obedient to those who themselves are obedient to the higher authority. All of these things that are swirling in the life of the Church at this particular moment about the development of doctrine, the change in dogma, it becomes confusing even to those of us who have studied theology. The simple fact is this, as the book of Deuteronomy made very clear, the law of God is written on our hearts. It's written to the very fabric of our existences. We don't need proclamations from on high to confuse us as to how it is we are to behave and what it is that we should do and the manner in which we should live our lives. When the Church does indeed instruct and admonish us, which she is supposed to do, she does so speaking not her own voice, but speaking the voice of our Lord Himself, speaking that voice which He Himself proclaims, speaking that voice that is part of the perennial, consistent tradition and teaching of the Church. Because the Lord in our Gospel exhorts us to put aside anxiety. And sadly, because of this confusion, this unwillingness to be clear in the proclamation of the truth, to say what needs to be said, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, what it has introduced into the life of the Church is anxiety and confusion. Anxiety and confusion lead to chaos and instability. And all of those are signs of the satanic, the evil one, prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls. That is what Satan does.
He sows confusion and chaos and doubt so that you can't have good, solid footing. And then it becomes difficult, moment by moment, to live this life of virtue to which we are called. Simply, brothers and sisters, the words of our Lord must truly rest in our heart as well. Because as St. Paul reminds us, it is not only a rejection of sin, but the new law then consists in embracing a life of virtue. Don't just avoid bad things and spend your whole life only doing that. Once you have done that, or as you are doing that, at the same time, embrace this life of virtue, joy and peace and patience and charity and kindness and goodness and long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, chastity. If you are confused about what it is that you need to do, if you are confused about what it is that you need to avoid, you have in Scripture today two very clear lists of what not to do and what it is that you ought to do. There is no confusion. And because there is no confusion, there should be no doubt. And because there is no doubt, there should be no anxiety. You should be able to live a life of peace. The life of peace, to be clear, is never merely resignation to the world or merely the absence of conflict. The life of peace that comes in God in Christ is a life that even in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of struggle, we are still able to keep our sights on God and on Him alone. Final thought. One of the many problems with modernity is we oftentimes think of ourselves as unique, something particular to us, as if the church has not endured things before us, and as if what it is that we are enduring is only in this age and it's never happened before. The church has endured a great many things, and one could argue from a historical point, she's endured even greater realities than that which is plaguing us even now. But it does us no good to say that we are suffering something more than that which has happened in the past. The simple fact is we are suffering, and there are difficulties that we must overcome. But now you must resolve with the grace of God, and most especially with the living God, whom some of you are about to receive, to go forth and to put into practice what the Lord tells us in Scripture. It simply doesn't matter what it is that is swirling around us. We must strive only and always for that peace and comfort that Christ alone brings to us. We know what it is that we are looking for. St. Paul articulates for us the manner in which we can achieve it, the pitfalls that need to be avoided, and the virtues that need to be embraced. All that remains, brothers and sisters, is for you to resolve to cooperate with the grace of God that is real and true in your life. And begin today, this precise moment, rooting out those sins that keep you away from God, and tending to those virtues that will draw you close to Him. The Lord tells us at the conclusion of our gospel, only one thing is required, the kingdom of God and His justice. Seek that, and only that, and all things else will indeed be good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.